We're here for a baby dedication. That's what everybody usually calls it, but it's really a parent dedication. The Bigelows have the record in this church of 5 dedications. Greg is on his way. He's trying for the record, and he's getting there. Amen. Amen. He knows I'm just having fun. We're so glad that we can give our children back to God. Amen. That's the place that they need to be, in the arms of Jesus Christ. And that's, especially in this day and age that we're living in, that's the safest place. Amen. If you'll turn your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3. So glad for all of our guests. We're so glad you are here. Please let us know that you are here and you enjoyed it. Hallelujah. We want to do all that we can to be accommodating to everyone, just like Jesus. Amen. It's all in Him, isn't it? Everything you need is in Jesus Christ. And the body of Christ ought to be that way also. Amen. Be a blessing to everyone. Colossians chapter 3, we're going to read verse 1 through 17. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things, not on the things of the earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, for fornication, uncleanness, idolatry, inordinate affections, evil conspicuousness, and covetousness with idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in that which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off these things: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communications out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, see that ye have put off the old man which his deeds, and have put on the new man, which in renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all things, put on charity, which is in the bond of perfectedness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body. Be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word and deed, do all in the name of Jesus, the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Lord, we appreciate you. God, we ask you to speak to every heart here today. God, anoint your servant. Speak to him, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. I want to speak to you this morning. We take these opportunities of dedication, amen, to help us to be better parents. I want to speak to you, parents' effect on children. Parents' effect on children. How many believe that parents have an effect on children? Amen. If you listen to a child, they usually have whatever type of slang language that a parent has. If they're from the South, they don't pick it up because all the neighbors come over and talk to them. They pick it up because they hear mom and dad say, well, isn't the sun bright out today? That little child will grow up and say, mommy, isn't the sun bright today? Come on, they have effects, don't they? They have effects. This Colossians chapter 3 deals with family relationships, and it arises as the direct application of all that Paul has talked about in Colossians 3, 1 through 17. And I'm going to read this today, but I will read through Colossians 3, 18 to 22, and it says, wives. Now, see, when we get to this scripture, people go, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter, against them. Children, obey your parents. And this is the part the parents love. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Here, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. And that's not only talking to the fathers, that's talking to the mother also, okay? Do not provoke them. Amen? See, your ability to fulfill your role as a parent is directly related to how well you are walking with God. Now, don't get quiet on me. I'll park right where I'm at here. Come on, amen? I said your ability to fulfill your role as a parent is directly related to how well you are walking with the Lord. See, while it is possible for a non-Christian wife to willingly submit and respect her husband, that is difficult. While it is possible for a non-Christian husband to sacrificially, love his wife, that is difficult, and it is impossible for him to actually love her as Christ loves the church. You see, it is required that all children obey their parents. But for a wife, husband, and children, it is a lot easier to fulfill these roles when they have the Holy Spirit within them, direct power from God. Amen? Empowers them. And as you set aside the habits, as you set aside the attitudes that characterized your life prior to salvation, is there any Christians here that used to be bad before you knew God? Only three of you. Oh, okay. Now, there we go. Whew. Okay, so you had habits that God doesn't like today, right? Before you knew God. And you had attitudes that God definitely didn't like. Amen? Can we say that? Okay, it's hard for you to set those things aside. But because of Jesus Christ in your life, you have to learn to put them habits and those attitudes away. Amen? And because you are becoming a new creature in Him. Amen? So let me tell you something. If you're here today and you're a Christian, you should not be acting like you used to. There we go. Now we're doing good. I feel like I'm a school teacher here today. You see, the same is true for parents. Amen. This is today. We have to understand we can't act like we used to around our children and want them to live for God. And when you read in Colossians 3, Paul, he commands here, his command here is interesting from the standpoint that it is only from the negative. In Colossians 3:21, it says, "Fathers, do not aggravate your children or they will become discouraged." Parenting would be very easy if all we had to do was avoid this one danger zone. Okay? Just don't make them upset. Don't do things to get them upset. But Paul here and the rest of the scriptures have a lot more to say, positive, both positive and negative about the responsibilities of parents. In Ephesians 6:4, it says, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." He said, look, don't aspirate them, don't get them upset, don't frustrate them, but bring them up in Jesus Christ. Teach them the ways of God. So Ephesians 4 includes this negative, fathers, do not provoke your children, but it also adds a positive, bring them up in the disciplines and the instructions of the Lord. Paul's command here is only an additional specific instruction and instruction in the Lord. Paul commends here is only additional instructions to help parents and complements all of the other commands that he has given. Godly parenting requires that you put off the evil and put on the good in both of your practices. It also requires you with your children. It requires this. Your own example has to match the instructions you give your children, or they will see hypocrisy and reject your teachings. Don't tell your children to live for God and you don't. Come on. Don't tell your children to be nice to mommy when you're made mean to mommy. Or vice versa. You see, your example will have greater effect upon them than anything else you do. When a disciple or a student, a disciple is a student, folks. When a disciple is fully trained, he will be like his teacher. Amen? In Luke 6:40, the disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. So if you are characterized by walking in the flesh with your attitude, or walking in the flesh with your actions of anger, or walking in the flesh with your wrath and malice and slander and abusive speech, then don't be surprised when your children exhibit the same characteristics. The same is true of immorality. The same is true of impurity and passion and evil desires and greed. Come on. If the evil practices of the old self characterize your life, then they will also characterize the lives of your children. Unless the Lord intervenes and saves them despite your negative influence. Come on. You see, at the same time, if your life is characterized as walking in the new life, in the new self, amen, with compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience and bearing one another's burdens and forgiving each other, being loving with the word of Christ dwelling in you, then your children will take on a lot of these characteristics, even if they aren't saved. You see, in the importance of parenting, there is so much more in the scriptures concerning it than this one passage. Now, I want to talk to you about general principles of parenting. I want to point out that the most of the biblical commands, including this one here in Colossians, folks, they are directed specifically to the fathers. But the command is to be followed by both parents, not just the dad. But see, in most cases, if dad is doing what he's supposed to do, hey man, the family will follow along. The reason these commands are addressed to the father is because God has placed the father, the husband, as the head of the house. And so is also the one that is going to be held responsible for making sure, amen, the family carries out God's commands. Like Joshua, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen? We will do it. Well, it's not easy, Pastor. I didn't say it was easy. It definitely is not easy. Amen? I remember the stories. I don't remember a whole lot of it. When I was 4 years old, my dad started taking us to church. My dad was raised in an apostolic home and got away from it and was drinking and running around with my uncle, met my mom, married her within 6 weeks, and boom, the family started. And that's my dad. And one day, somebody knocked on his door and wanted him to come to church, and he decided he was going to go. My mom wasn't raised in church. So he had four kids to get ready. Mom wouldn't lift a finger. So dad, he would take one of us and get us all washed up and all dressed up, sit us on the couch, say, stay there. Go to the next one. And line all four of us up, and let's go. After a while of that, mom finally got convicted. Started tailing along with dad. Next thing you know, mom's saved. And it was no looking back. But you know what? As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And I thank God for a dad that took a stand. Amen? And said, we're going to live for God. Well, you know, a lot of people, well, they don't want to go. I tell them, well, go anyways. Your spouse, my husband doesn't want to go. Well, go anyways. You know what's right. Be a leader. Come on. Yeah, we want usually the husband to be the leader, but if mom is going to lead for a while until dad gets a hold of this, then lead. But do what's right. I promise you, if Dad were to give in, I wouldn't be here today. So folks, these commands are addressed to the Father. But do what you got to do. It's not easy, but do it anyways. The practice, the practical reality is that a large portion of us do, if not the majority of us, of the teaching of children will be done by the mother, since she spends the most time in their daily care. Right? So here we see in this, it is addressed to Dad in the Bible. But mom is the one who's going to have the majority of influence, because Dad, hopefully, if he's doing right, he's off working. So, Dad, it's important to you to lead, not only for your children, but for mama to follow, amen, so that while she's at home, she's giving them not only what she believes in, but what Dad and her together say, this is how we're going to raise our kids. It's important for parents to agree on how to raise the kids. The last thing you want is to see these kids, see your kids watching you arguing over how you're going to raise them, how you're going to discipline them. This kid's going to be going, playing ping pong here. It's important. The father has the responsibility, but the mother fulfills a large portion of it. Another reason for the importance of a wife submitting to her husband's leadership and her husband's actively leading. It's important for that, what Scripture says, wives, submit to your husbands. But it's also equally or more important to for the husband to say, this is how this family is going to live for God. You got to be the priest of your home. Importance, folks, it's very important. God has given us plenty of instructions on how to raise our children, but as American society continues its fight away from the biblical values and to the vain philosophies of wisdom of men, so the family continues to disintegrate. Come on, you have to be blind not to see where the family is going in America today or in the world. Because in most cases, men in the home are not leading. I know that's harsh, but that's true. If the men would take their roles in the home and lead and say, I'm going to live for God. Let me tell you something. It's easy to live like the world. Anybody can do it. Look how many are doing it. How about somebody with a little bit of gumption in them that says, hey, I'm going to stand up for what's right. I'm going to live for God. I'm not going to be a thief. I'm not going to cheat people. I'm not going to cuss. I'm not going to cheat on my spouse. I'm going to love my children. Well, where does that come from? Godly teaching. I think it takes a real man to live for God. Come on. Like I said, I could go down here to Tony's right now, folks, and get me something to drink and get myself blasted. But I choose not to, because I'm going to do what's right. I used to do that stupid stuff. I didn't like how I looked. I'll tell you what, it was hard to get friends in this world. Anybody believe that? Well, when I was drinking and carrying on, I was stupid, and I wanted to fight all my friends. So one day I looked at myself and said, man, you're an idiot. It's hard to get friends. I quit. You know what? I'm going to live for God. Come on. But God has given us these instructions. When people reject the Creator, and they reject his way, his design, they prove the Scriptures true. They have been blinded by Satan in 2 Corinthians 4, and that in professing to be wise, they have become fools in Romans 1. The proof of good parenting is in the children. Amen? As society has paid more attention to supposed experts than they do to scriptures, the problem with the children and the youth have only escalated. Come on. Hey, try walking in Cleveland schools one day. Tell me the problem isn't out of hand. I had foster children. I had to take them there by mandated. Man, I'll tell you what, you better wear a suit of armor. I'm serious. The inmates have taken over the asylum. The top 10 problems among high school students in 1950 was chewing gum in class and boys tucking their shirts being untucked. Two of the top 10. Compared to today's high school environment with metal detectors and undercover narcotics officers and sexually transmitted disease being common. Oh, do we want to take a secular world way of teaching kids, or how about scripture? You see, folks, we need to both know and follow God's instructions concerning the family. And instructions for parenting, folks, begins with the role of the husband and wife. You cannot be a better parent than you are a spouse. Let me say it again. I said, you cannot be a better parent than you are a spouse. The importance of marriage is so important. Folks, in Colossians 3, it says the wife is to be in submission to the husband. In Ephesians 5, it explains that this submission is first to the Holy Ghost, amen, and then to her husband, that she is also to show him respect. Let me tell you something. You can't show your spouse respect. Don't expect your kids to show you respect. Come on. If they see you arguing over, you shouldn't have done that to them, you're not a very smart parent. Come on. Do I have any parents that agree with that? That's scripture. You see, listen. You have to show, wives, you have to show your husband honor and respect. Okay? If she does not do this, she will resent her role and risk having her husband rule over her from a negative standpoint. And as a part, a curse of sin. Look in Genesis 3. In any case, she will not be the woman she should be, or she could be, if she cannot respect her husband. Well, he doesn't deserve it. Didn't say if he deserves it. Come on. God gave us a mandate to do things, and we got to obey God. The role of the husband. Oh, this is really quiet in here today. Oh, man. Pray for me, folks. The role of the husband is to lead his family in godliness through a sacrificial, committed love. Husbands, sacrificial. I'm sick and tired of doing this for a nigga. Sacrificial, committed love. See, when you don't feel like it is when you need to force yourself to get up and do it. Because that's when it's a sacrifice. And this will come out of your walk with God. Because, see, it is impossible for a man to love someone else as Christ loves the church without the help of the Holy Ghost. Come on. This sacrificial love includes leading her, protecting her, providing her for her, and helping her become holy and blameless. See, women, you think it's hard because you have to submit. But let me tell you something. God lays it on a man thick. Okay? Love her. Lead her. Protect her. Provide for her. Helping her become holy and blameless. Parents, please hear me. Your ability To properly raise your children is in direct relationship to your ability to be a godly spouse, and that it depends on your walk with God. So, if you are unwilling to submit to God and His will and follow the scriptures in your role as a spouse, you will not do so in your role as a parent. Amen? You won't do it. I'm a pretty good parent. Yeah, well, you can be better. Isn't that what we want to be? Better? You know, how many parents say, I want my kids to have it better than I did? You really? You see, you've already decided that you know better than God if you will not follow the things of God. And that some basic beliefs will control your parenting. So if you want to raise good and godly kids, then you need to work at having a good and godly marriage. Hey, Mom? But maybe your spouse is not a believer, or maybe you're a single parent and you're raising the kids by yourself. Again, hear me. Submission to God and His will is primary. Amen? How do you treat your unsaved spouse or your ex-spouse or the child's other parent? How do you treat them? Well, that's not a fair question, Pastor. You don't know what a jerk they were. How do you treat them? How do the children see you treat Mommy or Daddy? Does your example, your attitude toward them reflect godliness, the love of Jesus Christ? You see, if it does, you will be a positive influence of Christ, for Christ, on your children, despite your spouse or the other parent. Come on. One of the worst things could ever happen is for kids to see their parents hate each other, argue. You see, you have a commonality here. See, years ago, you didn't have to teach like this. Usually, people walk in, you know, it's his kids and their kids together. Now it's her kids, his kids, and their kids, and it's crazy in the world we live in. So there's a lot of this stuff goes on. There's a lot of ugliness. But God's not pleased with it. That's not God's intentions. God did not. You look out here, you see the ugliness, and all these people are saying, well, how can a loving God do this? No, that's not God. It's our decisions. It's our choices that we make. God's, when He made Adam and Eve, they were intended to live forever. And it's because of choices. And a lot of us make choices we know we shouldn't make. A lot of us do things we know is wrong. I got couple of cheering people here. I don't need it, but it's the Word. I'm preaching from the Word, folks. And a lot of times that's why, you know, people want their ears tickled. Come on. So listen, if your example is ungodly, then you will fill your children with that ungodliness that is in your heart. Whether that be resentment, whether it is bitterness, pride, revenge, or anything else ungodly. So we have to understand how important it is to obey the Word of God. Parents, we like to recite this in Ephesians 6, 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents. Yeah, in the Lord, for this is right. Yeah. Preach it, God. Honor thy father and mother. Hear that, kids? Which is the first commandment with a promise that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Oh, we love that, don't we? Any parent here? Come on. But God requires children to obey. And this is the first principle of parenting, folks, that we are to require our children to obey us in the Lord. See, one of the things that it just drives me crazy is parents will sit and Johnny, get out of there. And they roll over or watch the TV, whatever they're doing. Johnny, I told you, get out of there. Johnny, if you don't get out of there, I'm going to beat your butt. After about the fifth time, finally they get up and start doing things that are ugly out of frustration. Scripture says that children obey it, but folks, you need to understand you are to require they obey it because you are to teach them what God wants. So I always said this, I hate that. One, I hate it. Two, three, let's go. If you can teach them after three, you can teach them after one. Come on. But it requires me getting out of this chair. I'm tired. I worked all day. Yeah, what are you training Johnny when he gets to work and his boss say, Johnny, I want you to do this. Is he going to hear, one, two, three? Is that what you're teaching him? How about the teacher at school? You know what they're going to do? You need to get this kid some Ritalin. Come on. We teach these kids things and wonder why they have a hard time holding down a job. Why they're living in mommy and daddy's basement at 30 years old. That's the society we're in, folks. Johnny, here's what you... Stop right now. And if Johnny doesn't stop, Johnny gets consequences. Quickly and swiftly and hurting. Amen? And you're teaching them to obey. Not after 15 times. You're teaching them. I'm telling you something, buddy. My dad, you better listen. Because his hand was humongous. And it covered everything. And good Lord, you did not want to hear that belt go... Now, mom was pretty good, too, but a lot of times mom said, you wait till dad gets home. Like they say, dad always came home. Let me tell you something, folks. I learned to listen. I'm serious. You did what dad said to do. There's no ifs, ands, or but. He never gave me one, two, three. And that's one thing I taught my boys. If you get a spanking, it's your fault. Because if you were to listen to me, you wouldn't be having this. See, that's the first principle of parenting. God requires children to obey, and parent, it's your job to teach them to obey. And do you know how many people? Everybody goes to college today. The trades are suffering because everybody goes to college today. We want to make sure they get in these colleges and learn this and that. I think it's a disease, but anyways. But yet, we don't want to teach them how to obey. So when they get a job, they listen. We don't want to teach them how to respect authority. Because when you are giving them chance after chance, you're teaching them not to respect you. Oh, it's quiet. We have to require our children to obey. Obedience is to be the first time, the right way, and do it with a happy face. Oh, let me promise you this. I better never seen a face like this. Mm-mm. You better do it. And you better be happy about it. As I always said, you'll do it and like it. Amen? You will do it and you'll like it. Anything less than that is disobedience. Hear me? First time, the right way, and do it with a happy face. Come on. Anything less is disobedience. For obedience encompasses both action and attitude. Why do we obey the things of God? Because we love him. God, you're not going to see God doing this to you. You'll do it because you love him or you won't do it. Come on. Anything less, folks, I'm telling you, is disobedience. And why is it important that the children obey the first time you tell them? Why? Anybody? 100-some people here. Nobody can tell me why. Why is it important that your children obey you the first time? Respect? Training them to listen? You see, the first one will be, this is theological. And the second one is going to be practical. First, failure to obey the first time is delayed obedience. And that makes it disobedience. Right? The tragedy is that it is totally controlled by the parent. Why do I say that, folks? Because a child will obey you when they know you are finally serious. Can there be either the first time or whatever you point to, finally mean it, whatever point you get to, okay? Here, that you may be after you say it three times or depending on your normal practices. Children begin to pick up on things. It may be when your voice reaches a certain pitch that that's when I need to obey. You see what I'm saying here? It may be not be until there's arteries in your neck that are standing out and the blood pressure skyrockets. That means mom and dads are serious. Right? See, you, not your child. Hear me, parents. I'm talking to parents. You have to determine the point of obedience. By that, you actually require of them. This is it. I'm going to tell you one time, and it better be done. Or you can say, I'm going to tell you 15 times, and then it should be done. You're not actually saying that, but by you allowing it to go on, that's what you're doing. Maybe this scenario will sound uncomfortably familiar. You tell your child, Junior, please put your toys away and get ready for bed. 5 minutes later, go by, Junior, I thought I told you to put those toys away and get ready for bed. 5 more minutes go, and you say, Junior, I know I told you to put those toys away and get ready for bed. Now, please do it. After another 5 minutes goes, before you say, look, I'm not telling you again, put the toys away and get ready for bed, or you're going to get it. More time passes, and now your face red and your volume hitting 100 decibels. This is the last time I do what I said. Put the toys away and go to bed. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand and say, that's my house. Because God knows. That is a dysfunctional home. Okay? This may not seem very important, but it is very important. When you do not require your children to obey right away, the first time, then what you have put them in a position of being the judge of what and what is not important. That right does not belong to them. That right belongs to the parent. If you have this situation or have allowed this, that you are giving that right to that child to decide when you mean business. You should not give them that right. You have actually trained them to disobey. And God is not pleased with that. Your children need to obey you the first time and right away. Otherwise, you will teach them sin. Teach them to sin. And at the same time, parents must also consider what a child is doing and be sensitive to while giving them commands. Okay? All right, you be careful we're talking about not frustrating them, okay? Be careful not to tell your children to stop their game when they're almost done. Hurry up and get that game done. Then tell them, your game done, time for bed. Okay? You can frustrate them when you know. All right? So we don't want to do that. But a loving parent will be sensitive to the child, what he's doing, and be considerate and give them instructions. And this is part of what Colossians 3 is talking about. We are not to exasperate or frustrate them with such things because they will lose heart. And the second reason to require first-time obedience is safety. There are too many situations in which safety of your children is dependent on them doing what you say immediately. Okay? Only their immediate obedience will prevent them from injury and maybe even death. No one wants to go through grief of saying, if they had only listened. Teach them to listen and obey the first time. Okay? I remember my dad would tell me, you don't play in the road. And one day he caught me in the road, and I was very sorry that I did it. Okay? And I learned to listen. All right? Teach them. We also need to require our children to obey with a happy face. Children that grumble, children that complain or whine may be outwardly obedient to your commands, but they are rebellious in heart. Do not allow or accept it. I would tell my children, that's enough crying. You're not going to sit there and do that all day long. I give them time to cry. That's enough. I know, I was mean. No, I wasn't. I was scriptural. I cannot stress enough, folks, that in parenting, it is the heart that you are trying to train, not just the behavior. Come on. Amen? Remember that God's punishment of our children over Israel in the wilderness because of their continued grumbling. They would grumble and they would complain and God would chastise them with plagues. Poisonous snakes, the ground opening up and swallowing Korah and all of its followers, and then 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, the whole generation had to die off. Why? Because of grumbling and complaining. They might have been doing what he said, but they were grumbling and complaining. Parents, you should not accept or tolerate grumbling because it is a form of rebellion. Parents, listen, obedience is the schoolmaster that gives the child the skills to pursue both godliness and success. But do not stop with outward behavior. Folks, outward behavior is the easy part. And that should be largely accomplished by the time they are, you should have this accomplished in them by the time they are 4 to 6 years old. Parents, go beyond this, that, and instill within them the principles of God's words and train their hearts so that they will be internally guided rather than outwardly conformed. We know how it is when people are outwardly conformed, but inside their hearts, they have no desire. The real goal is that by the time they are 12 or 13 years old, that they understand and are following the principles and the precepts of God's word so well that their primary submission is to God. And when that point is reached, the obedience of to parents becomes secondary in submission to the Lord. You see, I always believe this. You work yourself out of a job. You start the day you lay them in the crib. And as you teach them through discipline that they are going to listen, you work yourself out of a job. The reason so many parents have so many problems with young teenagers is because they laughed at them and thought things were funny when they were young, or they ignored things. You are making yourself a world of hurt. Children should have a willingness and a desire to follow the parents' guidance because it is right and best for the Lord, not because it is forced on them. You see, when you do it God's way, folks, it's not as hard as it sounds. It's our responsibility as parents. Ephesians 6, 4, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. Folks, our children are born sinners, and we have a responsibility to teach them discipline so that the bent towards sin does not overwhelm them. We should teach our children about the Lord and how He wants them to live, but that is not easy task. It's not easy. When Harry Truman was president, he had a sign on his desk that said, "The buck stops here." It seems there are very few that have that type of mindset today. Most people will follow the example of Adam and Eve and just pass the buck along. Adam told God that the reason she sinned was because it was the woman's fault, the woman you gave me. Eve told God it's the serpent's fault. They didn't want to take responsibility. Listen, people are always trying to figure out where to shift the blame in this day and age. And it is no different when it comes to parenting, and sadly, this is true even of Christians. If a child turns out pretty good, the parents are happy to the point to point them out and proudly claim them as their own. But if that child turns out rebellious and a problem in society, then the parents are quick to claim that it was not their fault because I did everything I could. They claim that they did everything they could. No, you didn't. See, there are quite a few proverbs that contradict that idea. And Proverbs 10:1 says, the Proverbs of Solomon, "A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother." Proverbs 17:25, "A foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her that bare him." Proverbs 19:26, "He that wasteth his father and chasteneth away his mother is a son that causes shame and bringeth reproach." The Bible tells us what's going to happen if you don't do it right. Proverbs 29:15, "The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame." Go ahead and let him do what you want. Go ahead and let him disobey you. The Bible says it's going to bring you shame. I believe the Word of God. I don't know about you. You see, while grief and bitterness can express the emotion experienced over negative things that you could not control, shame, folks, is a negative emotion that is directly related to one's own wrong actions of failure. A mother and a father are shamed when their children behave in such ways that it expresses their parents' failure. The Bible tells us the sins of the parents will go down to the third and fourth generation. Listen, I had my time of rebellion. The Bible says if you train up a child the way you should go, it will not depart from them. Let me tell you something. The whole time I was out there doing wrong, I knew I was wrong right here. And don't think for one minute that it didn't weigh on me. Okay? Because it weighed on me, because mom and dad pounded it in my head. You will obey. You will go to church. You will do this. You will listen. I'm here today. There was a short time they were probably ashamed of me, embarrassed of me. But tell you what, out raising 9 kids, I have one brother that's not living for God today. I have a brother who's getting ready to start his service here in a little bit in Brunswick. He's pastoring a church. I have a sister who's married to a pastor they just opened up in West Salem, Ohio. Amen. My brother John is there assisting them. You see, folks, when you do it God's way. I was talking to a man the other day, and he says, "You have a whole family of shepherds." Because of mom and dad that said, "Oh, it's cleaning day. Guess what? We're going to church. Let's go." You're going to help. Whenever the doors were open, the Roberts family come trotting through, all bunch of us.
We had people bring kids to our house at night after church because we left them on the pew sleeping. Yes. Did you forget somebody? I promise you. More than once. Now, you see, not mom, they had all these kids, but they always had cousins with us, too. So it was a truckload. So they didn't take the time to count. They should have. Listen, folks, a mother and father are ashamed when their children behave in such ways that expose their parents' failures. The reality is that all parents will fail to one degree or another, which is why godly parents not only work hard at rearing their children, but they pray hard for them. Moms and dads, you need to understand that there is a dual responsibility in how your child turns out. Amen. Both you and your child bear a responsibility in what kind of adults that they are going to become. That this does not mean that a child blames you for their sins that he commit regardless of how bad a parent you were. I'm not saying that. But every individual bears full responsibility for him or himself or herself. And why? Because God calls to everyone is to repent from their sins and follow him. In Revelations 20, 12 through 13, when I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, another books were open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. Listen, every man's going to be judged. But you want to give them every benefit you can. More so than college. So that they have a good job. The most important thing is that they live for God. Come on. Parents, understand that God is not going to hold you responsible for your children's sins, but he's going to hold you responsible for your failures to raise them according in his instructions. How your children turn out is a reflection of how you parent them. And what you do in raising your children will greatly affect what they believe to be true, what they believe to be important, what life is all about, what behaviors are acceptable and unacceptable, and how they feel about themselves and others. How you raise them will reflect in how they turn out. This does not mean that you are responsible for their salvation. That could never be, because no man can save anybody else. No parent can guarantee the salvation of their children, but the parent is to set the stage for God to deal with them. Parents are to teach their children. And what I was saying earlier about your sins go down to the third and fourth generation, what I'm saying is just exactly this. Amen. If you don't teach them the things of God, they're going to grow up and know less than you do. And if they don't teach their children, find out about God and teach their children are going to grow up and know less than they did. And it's going to go right on down the line and further away from the things of God. See, I believe in these things. I believe that if you train them up in the way they should go, they will not depart. I've told the story about talking to my brother when he was up here doing some work for us. He's a drywaller, the one that's not living for God. And I said, you know, he's telling me, well, I talked to this person about God, and I talked to them, and I said, oh, that's good. And you know why you do that? Because mom and dad had you in the pews every day. That's why you can think about God. Even though you're not living for God, that's why you can think about God. And when you know somebody should be they're having problems, you tell them about God because you were trained. I said, what about your son? Are you giving him the same opportunity? Is he in the church? Is he sleeping on the pews? He just didn't know what to say. Parents are to teach their children God's ways, God's laws. And they are to teach their children about the life that God can give them. But you say, we do everything we can. Maybe you are. But no parent can really say that they have done everything they could, because no one is perfect. The solution for guilt and failure is not in trying to pass the buck, but confession and purposing to do better. Don't let your pride get in the way. determined to do better for your children. If you have failed your children to do and done them wrong, then apologize to them. I apologize a lot. I wasn't no perfect parent. But if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. If you have failed them, apologize. Set your pride aside and ask them, please forgive me. It sets an example, a great example for them about how they should respond when they do wrong. There are no perfect parents, but all parents are responsible for their children. And since the scripture declares it to be so, and Psalms 127, except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep a city, the watchman walketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early and sit late and to eat bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. So, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Those arrows, as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, where are you aiming your children today? What mark are you trying to get your children to hit? It's our job to aim them in the right direction. Children are a gift from the Lord. They are a blessing, and they will be if we follow God's instructions concerning God. Amen? If we do not, then they may well prove to be an embarrassment to us and everybody around us. There is no responsibility or privilege you will ever have greater than raising your children. Amen? Than raising your children. God sees children as important, and so does Greg and Crystal. Psalms 127:3 says, behold, children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. You see, some gifts have strings attached, some do not. And in this case, God's gift to you does have strings. Okay? They're yours for a long time, Greg. Better keep that van running good, buddy. If you need a bigger one, we'll talk about one of the church vans down the line. Okay? Listen, since God has given you the precious gift of a child, he has also given you an awesome responsibility. God has given you the responsibility to train up your child in the way it should go. Train it up for God's purpose. Be an example of Christian living, both inside and outside of the home. Provide for, protect, nurture. But make her a part of your family, sharing with her the love, your time, your life. Teach her to love the same Jesus you love. And to serve, obey, and honor him with all of your heart. Teach her what's important. We're going to live for God. We're going to help grow Church of Pentecost. Not only that way. Do Bible studies. There's other ways to grow the church. I'm having fun. I hope you don't mind. You're not alone in this responsibility, though. God, your Heavenly Father, is always with you to provide your strength, your encouragement, your love, wisdom that you need. And all you have to do is go to him, and he will provide it. He'll provide your needs. And we're not dedicating the children as much as we are dedicating the parents. Amen? And by having this dedication, you as parents publicly saying that you want to raise your children in a Christ-honoring home, and asking God's blessings on your ministry as Christian parents. Amen? So in answering these questions, you are making a promise to God, not to me, not to your children, but to God. If you are willing to commit your children to God and dedicate yourself to raising her in God's strength for his honor and glory, then reply by saying, I do, to the following promises. And you grandparents, if you want to follow along in this also. Do you recognize your children as a gift from God and give God thanks for blessing your life with her, with his gift to you? Do you then dedicate your children to the Lord who gave you their children? Do you pledge as Christian parents that you will bring up your children in the Christian home looking to God for wisdom, strength, and guidance? Do you promise to give your children every possible benefit of home, school, and church? Do you promise to pray for your children on a regular basis, realizing that it is only with God's hand upon their life they can truly be blessed? Do you ask God's blessings upon the life of your children to guide, guard, and direct her through all her years? If your heart was in these promises, then you have dedicated yourself to raising your children in a way that God can use mightily in his kingdom. So I have this letter that I'm going to give you on behalf of your children, and someday you might wish to open it and share it with her and let her know that what you have done here today. Dear Ella Reese Seck, on this day, 3/17/19, your parents came before me in the presence of your church family here at Church of Pentecost, dedicated themselves and you to the Lord whom they worship and serve. They recognize you as a gift from God and give thanks to him for bringing you into their lives. They promise to train you in the things of God, looking to him for divine guidance, wisdom, and strength. And they ask God to someday fill you with his Holy Spirit, make you a blessing to others as you allow the Holy Spirit to fill you with his power. As your church family, we have promised to encourage your parents as they grow in the Lord and to always be there for you when you need help in living for Christ's life that God has planned for you. Although you will not remember this day, I pray that we will always remember the vows that we have made to God on your behalf. May you grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus and grow up to live a life pleasing to our Lord. Sincerely, Reverend C. William Roberts, Pastor. All right. Hi there. Let's stand up here. Let's all stand, folks. Preach it, honey. Preach it. All right, let's just pray. Will you reach your hands forward here? Let's just ask God to bless Ella and this whole family. Lord, we love you and we thank you, God, right now. We ask you to touch this child. God, let your hand be upon her, Lord God, and bless this family, I pray. God, as they serve you and as they raise Ella, Lord, to serve you with all of her heart. We pray, God, your will be done, Lord, and bless right now. Bless this whole family, the grandparents and the aunts and uncles. Touch them, Lord, right now. Lord, in Jesus' precious holy name, amen. Amen. If you gather around, folks, if the grandparents would come on up here and tell them that you're going to pray and lift them up in prayer.